Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Wonders of the Night Sky, You Must See Before You Die by Bob King. And I've been a bit slack today, sort of working on my paper, so I'll see if I can get this read for you. We've just done Venus and stars, and it's sort of like the same thing, different aspects of it. The iridium flare I just absolutely loved, having a little gold flash of capon tape at you. Just love it. Okay, Cygnus star cloud. When I die, please box my soul and ship it to the Cygnus star cloud. A few places in the Milky Way look so inviting on a summer or fall night. The magnificent island of stars that spans the first half from the centre of the Northern Cross to the Arbutus foot. So I really don't know what that is. I'm up there. Even on full moon nights, you can still make out the cloud's faint presence. That's how bright it is on the dark nights, far away from the city. Look closely at the flat oval glow with the naked eye. It's granulated, not smooth and milky. Scores of stars near the limit of visibility seem to twinkle on and off, going the length of the distance like firefly. Hands down, this is the most visually rewarding cloud to the naked eye from the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, the Southern Hemisphere is absolutely ripped, snorting full of things, so I wouldn't go alone this, but let's listen. Gazing into Cygnus, we appear to thousands of light years down to the length of our local spiral arm. Oh, that's right, down the length. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, that's not amazing. Yes. Stars near and far overlap to create a region of stellar saturation, and it's all from your own backyard. Amazing. Billions of stars aren't the only reason the cloud stands out so boldly. There is also very little dust down this road. Dust absorbs starlight. The key reason we can't peer into the centre of the Milky Way, which is around the Southern Cross, for us with ordinary telescopes. There's much to glean from the distant cloud with the naked eye, but don't stop there. Go to the full distance of the binoculars and telescope. You will see so many stars. The binoculars way to count. My favourite way to explore the region is with a telescope at low magnification. I start near the centre of the cross and sweep west from side to the other. Lower the scope a degree and sweep again in the opposite direction, back and forth, like mowing the grass. Try it yourself. Well, I would also say, Astro Bob, you should really get people to go out and try a night vision. Night vision is just, this shocking thing. I don't know, on various vehicles and places like that, I've seen night vision, and you look up and the sky is absolutely, gorgeous. And in fact, that's where you can actually... You can't necessarily pick people up with night vision a long distance away, but you can see silhouettes out against the black night sky. It's pretty good. You'll run into the most beautiful things on every sweep. Coloured stars, coloured star chains, dark nebula, apparent vacant spaces between starry billows that the truth are thick clouds of interstellar dust, and several small star clusters. Half an hour spent on the cross starry sweet shop claims the mind and recharges the sense of wonder. Other star clouds dot the Milky Way band, including the prominent round puff in the constellation Sanctum and the shield below the Summer Triangle, and the bright chunks in Sagittarius. In these, we look out towards the more remote regions where the stars are generally fainter and don't stand out as brightly as those in Cygnus. Choose your equipment, naked eye, binoculars, telescope, all of the above, and pick a moonless night any time in June to November if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, where the Northern Cross is well placed for viewing. In early summer, it lies on the side of the eastern sky in the band of Milky Way, horizontal to the horizon. By August, Cygnus rides high in the southern sky near the zenith of the Milky Way, diagonal to the horizon. Come fall, the cross stands straight up and down on the northwest, making the last stand before knuckling down for winter. Any binoculars will do, but wide field types show bigger piece of sky and more stars at a glance. A 50mm glass gathers more light than a 25mm or 35mm. Really, you should actually say that. Okay, the Magellanic Clouds, which are Southern Hemisphere, and they're They are pretty amazing. People say, oh, what is that? That cloud hasn't moved for ages. And you say, look, that's a star cloud. You know, people actually think it looks like a cloud, a wispy cloud. Small asteroids orbit big asteroids, moons orbit planets orbit suns orbit other suns, small galaxies orbit bigger galaxies, and small galaxies clusters orbit bigger galaxies. Everything really does go round and round. The Milky Way is one of more than 54 galaxies in the local group, a cluster of mostly small galaxies held together by gravity of its members. Andromeda and Milky Way are the group's heavyweights. At least two dozen small satellites orbit the Milky Way, and other planets orbit the Sun, the way planets orbit the Sun. Only two of them are bright enough to see with the naked eye, and both are visible from the bloody southern hemisphere. Yeah, for the large and small Magellanic clouds. They look like pieces of the Milky Way split and drifted away from the other parts of the sky. So with binoculars and telescopes, we can mine this assortment of celestial treasures in each. They are named by the Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan, who first reported sighting during the circumnavigation of the globe. This is the first navigation of the globe, 1599 to 1522. In January 1521, the first voyage around the world by Magellan. Magellan assistants Antonio Pigafetta on the South Pole can't be seen by the same constellations as the North Pole. There are two groups of small misty stars which resemble little clouds, which are not much remote from each other. These misty stars may have been part of the sky lore of the Australian Aboriginal peoples, the Polynesians, and other cultures. Sitting around the campfire in the outback 1,000 years ago in Western Australia, you would have heard a story of how clouds represented the camp of an older couple too ill to gather their own food. The large cloud symbolised the man, the small man cloud the woman. A bright star near both, perhaps Canopus, was their fire. Both galaxies adorn the southern hemisphere evening in the sky about the mid-September through mid-April, though the highest and easiest to see them in the southern, in that hemisphere, midwinter, I would say so. Bloody hell, it's freezing now. While a much better view, you can pick out a spot well below the equator. Argentina, Zimbabwe, Australia are ideal locations. Thanks for saying that. That's beautiful sound. I love the Magellanic Cloud. The Large Magellanic Cloud, LMC, is about 160,000 light years away and straddles two constellations, Dorylta and Goldfish, and the Mensa and the Table Mountain. Its neighbour, the Small Magellanic Cloud, SMC, lies about 200,000 light years from Earth, in the Tuca of the Tucan. Both are classified as irregular dwarf galaxies and orbit the Milky Way about once every 4 billion years. That's interesting. So the Milky Way spins every quarter of a billion years, but it takes us 100,000 years to orbit the galaxy. The gravity of the far more massive Milky Way has raised tides in both galaxies, like the moon raises tides on Earth, and it's distorted the shapes, a tit for tat. And clouds have yanked on the likewise distorted the outer parts of the galaxy's disk. Cold streams of hydrogen gas connect all three, pulled from each other by their mutual attraction. Both clouds lie on 20 degrees or 2 fists from the south celestial pole, Sigma Octantis, so they circle about it and never set the observers living south of about 20 degrees south latitude. It does, but it's freezing for us. From a dark sky, the LMC looks like a fuzzy patch of light brighter towards the centre and spans some 7 degrees. One bald fist held arm's length will cover it with room to spare. The SMC is less than half as large, about 3 degrees across, and 2 fists the west of the bigger Sebasti. Seeing both with the naked eye is a fine accomplishment itself, because each one of the most remote objects visible without optical aid, except Andromeda, But binoculars, especially small telescope, will show dozens of stars, clusters and nebula with a greater constellation of riches in the LMC. The LMC is also the home of the 1986 supernova. The LMC is the home of the Tarantula Nebula, the most active star-forming region in the entire local group of galaxies. Oh, there you go. Easily visible to naked eye as a brighter spot within the galaxy binoculars, show the north-south extended glow, which expands into a mass of loops and whorls with the modest-sized telescopes. Amateur astronomers living in the southern hemisphere consider the Tarantula one of the most exquisite nebula in the sky. To give you an idea of its size, if you were located in the same distance as the Orion Nebula, 1,350 light years, the Tarantula would cover an area twice as large as the Big Dipper. The dense cluster of newborn suns at the core would shine bright enough to see in the daytime. Well, that's interesting. The closest and brightest supernova observed since the telescope was SN 1987, exploded near the Tarantula Nebula in February 87, and was clearly visible to naked eye of magnitude 2.9. What I was going to say is I'll tell a story about the chap we had in Australia, a charged couple array, the very first image intensifier, and there was an honours student there, and they said, turn the knob, turn it down, and he turned it the wrong way and turned it up and blew the stuffing. And I was at dinner and I said, wouldn't you hate to be that student? Are you okay there, Ruby? Wouldn't you hate to be that student? And he said, yeah, well, I was. I was at actually dinner time, but it was rather embarrassing. We'll just cover that. And I'll just think I'll go inside. There's 40... What do I have to get up to? 40 and 57, a fair amount, but that's what I'm going to cover for tonight. So that's two, the Magellanic Cloud and the Cygnus Star Group, the Swan Star Group.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.